prayer, cosmology story. I don't know where this goes. Maybe the cosmology videos. I am writing a story, and I'm sometimes discussing with others who write or want to write stories. I'm also reading stories. Right now I'm working with the, again, returning to the Russian authors. Right now it's Tolstoy. And we're sometimes talking about the power of the story. Someone can write a story about people doing things somewhere, sometime, and pull you into it. So it's as if you enter that universe, that cosmos for a while, right? Movies, games, whatever you can make out of those stories, how to make them appear. But they're still stories about people doing things together. Love, hate, jealousy, chivalry, you know, all of it. Greed, lust, anger. The rasas between us. So, if we look at our lives here on Earth, we work, we make money, we do this and that, we get food on the table, home to stay in, and so on. But then, when all that those necessities of life are taken care of, what do we do? We enter the stories. Either we go watch a movie or read a book or tell stories to each other, or we live our own story. Rather, and we do that because that's what we all do. So you could say that that's what the cosmos is, living cosmos. It's a story of us who live. And when we write stories about others doing things, that's just an extension of it, different manifestation of it. But the reality there is not whether that story is happening in 3D forms of what we call matter in the material world where those things exist, or whether it happens on a movie screen or in a mind or in between us when we are talking about it. Those are merely different venues, you could say. But the reality there, here, is us, conscious living beings, and the stories that we act out and that we live in. And just as when we read, I'm just now reading Anna Karenina about Tolstoy, about people doing, he's doing the right thing, and oh, that guy is doing the wrong thing, and oops. Then we learn. We try it out. Well, some they take that and they go out and try it out in their lives. I had a friend, now we're in the story. Back then I thought he was a friend. But one of his hobbies was to try to seduce his friends' girls' friends. And it really reminded me of that Vronsky in Anna Karenina. So we find our own lives mirrored there, right? Just as we can say that this earthly existence, the Burloka, the world of the five senses here, on this surface we call Earth, is also mirroring our real full higher existence in ways that we can try things out, because that's what we do when we write our stories, right? What if I do the most horrible, terrible things that I don't even dare to think of? Or if the most wonderful thing would happen, and how would I make it happen? You know, these, you could say fantasies of what if, but also how to. Or do you want this? How would it be? Well, you may handle it well if you become super duper rich, as you know, some think is the greatest thing. But it may cause you problems, trouble. So ultimately, and of course that's what the great, real, good authors get down to. It's about, you know, the story is about learning. Action and reaction, consequences, karma. And in that way we learn that, well, I think I want to be like this. And then we wake up from it, go back again, and yeah, now I tried that crazy, dreamy illusion out. It wasn't real, because it was a temporary thing. But I'm real, and you are. And even when we play that game, that virtual reality game that we are in, that world, doing whatever we want, and then tasting the results, reactions to that. Yeah, we could try out things, even things that, you know, are, as we would say, evil. And of course, evil has to at least potentially exist, because we have free will. So we can choose to do right things and wrong things. So in this way, we learn. And why we need to learn and don't know it already? Well, I would see it more not as a linear time development, but cyclic in that sense that life is eternal. We are eternal. But it's not boring. It's always new, fresh, constant adventure and a constant growth and sweetening of the nectar of life and love and all of. What life is about. and we have free will, we have freedom. We're parts of God. We have freedom to do anything. Now this is how we do it. Anything. We can be gods in our own little worlds. How does that feel? And then, yeah, that's also just part of the story. And just as we sit and watch a movie or read a book, which may be just absolutely not what we would want to do, but it's nice to read as a story, right? And we never get enough of that. And that's, as I started saying, when you've done your daily work and everything is, you know, the struggle for survival is over for today, that's what we do. We watch a movie, we read a book, we play some game with our friends or whatever. Whether war games or football games or whatever. We listen to songs and it's all there, a story. The story about the people who make the songs and the story of the people that the songs sing about. And we like that. And then what I'm saying here is that we like that because that is reality. That is what it's all about. It's the meaning of life. Our relationships, our rasa. And that relationship includes God, who is our very, very best friend. And who is like the, you know, the ultimate director of this story. And when we play in God's story, then wow. Because God loves us more than anyone else does. Loves you more than ever anyone else does. And therefore simply gives us a story of love and care, and but also adventure and mystery. And those other things, the ghastly things, the gory things, they don't exist in God's world, do they? Well, anything you can imagine exists immediately when you imagine it, in your imagination it exists. And how much you want to go into that imagination, enter that story, wake up in that dream, then, well, the more real it will seem. But actual reality is what lasts, what remains after the other imaginary realities stops being imagined. And just as today, people on this planet are imagining all kinds of things, and powerful people who are in control of the media that the mass of people look at on their little screens in their pockets all the time can shape and control. Well, that image, that imagination, that here is our enemies, and here's my enemy and I will kill him and all of you. Valiant, proud citizens of my nation, you will go out and die for that higher, wonderful cause. You know, that kind of narrative. And all kinds of them. The peace narrative, the war narrative, the money narrative. And depending on which one we put there in our minds and act out, we of course get subsequent result. And that's what these stories are about. When we humans, I guess that's our bigger lesson to learn here. Living on this earth, Mother Earth, succeed in this game, win the game. One of the secrets there is that it's not for one to win and the others to lose. We win the game together. That's when the game is solved. When we all stand there as winners, it's a win-win game.